Shoes. I've often wondered what the significance of this, but Derek used the example of when he was training for the army. They would have to, and I can't remember whether it was in Vietnam, I'd have to go back and recheck that, but they were trained to sleep with their shoes on. Because if the alarm went off or the sirens went off that they were under attack, it could be a matter of life and death whether they have your shoes on or not. I went, agility. That's really helpful. That helps me understand what this was all about. That ability to be able to be agile, to be able to go over here, go over there, move when we need to move, and not be hampered. So that's why we need the shoes to be shodded. Well, that's really helpful. And of course, the sword of the Spirit. This book that is not just an academic exercise, but it is a living word that pierces and it convicts and it brings life. And you can read the same verse 20 times and get 20 different revelations from it because God's word is living. You're not reading a novel about someone's life. You're reading an inspired book given to us. To reveal the character, to reveal who God is, to give us truth. So we need to be in it. But to be honest, I don't care whether you could quote the Torah or not. It's impressive. But if you don't live it, it doesn't mean anything. If I don't live out this, and I don't let the Word of God transform me, I would much prefer you knew five scriptures that were life to you and you used those five scriptures. And as you use them faithfully, you add a sixth one and then a seventh one. I remember 1 John 3:16-18. This is how your not love is. Christ laid down his life for us and you should lay down your life for others. If someone has a need and you don't meet it, the love of God's not in you. Ouch. Okay, God, teach me how to do that. And I sat there until I was challenged. Met someone in the supermarket, am I going to love him? I shared the story about the young lady that I said, God told me very clearly that I needed to go and tell her that she was beautiful. Oh, that's not good. I'm a middle-aged bloke that is married and I'm telling a young girl who's 18 that she's beautiful. Shell turned up just at the right time, so we're able to go and do it together. Changed her life. I'm not going to stop. You know, obviously I'm going to be careful. I don't want to be stupid. But there's some of you ladies that actually need to know that you're beautiful, that you're extraordinary, that you're princesses in the sight of the Father. Because some of you haven't heard that before and you need to hear it because our society says that we can't. And if it comes from a mouth of a bloke, well, it must be coming from some dodgy, weird place. I can tell you my heart's not there. My heart is actually to impart the Father's love to you so that you know how extraordinary you are, from the oldest in the room to the youngest. Counterculture. Could it get me in trouble? Possibly. And I'll do it as wisely as I possibly can, but I'm never going to stop sharing the truth. Because this word says that every person is created in the image of God and they need to hear what he says about them. And the next slide, please. Our weapons of attack. But before I get there, what's the one area that is not covered by the armor? Our backs. So when we turn our backs on God, have you ever been in that situation where you've just sort of turned away a bit and it almost feels like the arrows come flying? But they come in such disguise that you stop you start to question whether God still loves you, whether the things that you believe are true. All the insecurities come back. Have you ever had that? Or is that just me? When we turn and we actually pursue our own way and not pursuing Christ, there's opportunities for the enemy to actually hit us in the back because we're not protected there. But we're also meant to have each other's backs as Christians, as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Once again, without trying to sound like I'm bashing the saints up, because I don't want to ever do that. You ever been hurt by a fellow Christian? Come on, be honest. I think I've shared it once before. I had a Christian boss once that said I had a spirit of poverty because he didn't pay me. Ouch. I told him why I had a spirit of poverty, because he didn't pay me. Some of my hardest workplaces have actually been Christian workplaces, where there was an expectancy to actually just turn up and do stuff, and there was no honour. Derek Prince, in his book, says this: let us make up our minds to stand together, protect one another's back, and not wound one another. Does it mean that we don't speak truth to one another? No. We have to speak truth to one another because that's how we grow. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As we rub up against each other, there'll be things in me that need to be knocked off, and the only person that can knock them off is you, and vice versa. At times that's hard. I've obviously only been here at the church for a short amount of time. But I can tell you that there is such freedom knowing that I've got Andre and Karen who have got my back as elders in this place. I'm going to use Julie because she's sat down the front, so sitting down the front makes you a target, Julie. If I just see myself in a role, I'm just the pastor, I don't really want to get too close. I'm sort of doing this to Julie. I'm not protecting her heart. She's not going to feel fully safe to open up her heart to me. And when someone shares you their story, do you know it's one of the most precious things you do? I've been trained in counseling, and one of the most precious gifts anyone has ever given me was that they've trusted me with their broken heart. It should be the most precious thing. But too often we're casual with it. And I trust and I pray, and if ever I am casual with your heart, please come and talk to me, because I never want to be that. What I want to be able to do is go, bring the word of truth and strengthen that heart. I want Julie to know that I've got her back. But you know, I can't be the pastor of this place if you don't have mine. Getting to know Graham has been such a treat, because I sense I've got a bloke that's got my back. And not only that, but he's also got my son's back. Because that's what we get to do for each other. Is life always going to be smooth and easy? No. Is there going to be opportunities for offense? All the time. It's one of the enemy's greatest weapons. But if we make a decision, I'm going to have Bev's back and Bev's going to have mine, and we're going to have Julie's and Karen's, and each one of us have each other's back. My goodness, we might just start people might start saying, hey, those MCF people, they look and sound a whole heap like Jesus. Because they love each other even when. And sorry, I'm going to upset all the religious spirits. But when life turns to shit, we need to know we've got each other's back. I'm sorry, there's sometimes no other words to use. Because sometimes it's really, really like that. And I know some of the stories that are in this place, and I know that we need to be that for each other. How do we combat it? Well, we get along beside each other and we do this. Can we get the next one there? We pray together. We pray for each other. We don't just do shopping list praise, oh, bless Daryl. No, we get alongside and go, we're going to stand with Daryl until he's healed from his back stuff. We're going to stand with him and we're going to support him and we're going to do those things. We're going to love Mel. We're going to love Karen. We're going to love every person who's placed, no matter whether life's going great or whether it's not. We're going to pray for one another and we're going to get together and we're going to seek the heart of God for you and your circumstances and we're going to do it together. Our house, my house shall be a house of prayer. Prayer is not just this little conversation, oh God, you're awesome, which that's part of it. That's part of our praise. He is. He's worthy of every bit of it. And even the words out of my mouth are not enough to be able to express how amazing he is. But we also need to be praying and getting in the trenches and praying with one another. We're in a battle, remember? You don't put armor on unless you're in a battle. Prayer. Worship. I don't like singing. As I said, you're probably not going to like heaven much. Don't like the songs. One of the greatest things we can do is when we take our eyes off ourselves and what we don't do and actually give all of our adoration and all of our heart to him. And the power of doing that corporately, my goodness, some of the greatest breakthroughs I've ever had in my life have been in worship. Both personally and corporately. You're struggling with peace in your home, fill your house with worship. You got no excuse these days, it's not going to cost you $30 for a CD. You can use free Spotify, you can use YouTube, you can for $17 a month, you can have free every album that's pretty much released on Apple Music or Spotify. And you could have worship playing in your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in your cars. For $17, it gives all my kids have got it. But worship, it changes the atmosphere. Get yourself a speaker and have it pumping through your home. If you don't like the noise of words all the time, put instrumental worship on. Inevitably, there'll be a hymn being played on the piano or there'll be a song come on and you just go, oh, I remember that. Whenever I hear the tune to How Great Thou Art, I remember my mum singing How Great Thou Art. Or the instrumental of, the song's gone out of my mind now. Doesn't matter. But the worship songs that my mum used to play and sing. I'm one of the weird young blokes that actually knows a lot of the hymns. And they play it sometimes and I go, whoa, I remember that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then I love the new ones. Get your hopes up. The Lion of Judah is roaring. We have to remind ourselves of these things. The preaching of the word. My hope is that as I get to know people, there will be a more diverse group of people preaching the word and then getting in small groups and teaching and those things. I am not a teacher. Teaching is not my gift set. I'm looking forward to, and maybe it's one of you or maybe God will bring someone in, but I'm looking forward to working with people and their gifts and seeing them come alive as we get around the word of God. But preaching of the word is not just done here from the pulpit. Preaching of the word is when you go out for coffee with someone and they're struggling with something and you open the word of God and say, this is what God says to your situation. Are you able to hang on to it? Oh, you're not. Okay, how can I stand with you? For the sake of confidentiality, I know someone who has done this for my wife recently who just reached out and just said, I am going to journey with you. Is that okay? And the reason that Shell is doing as well as she is right now is because, in big part, because she knew that she wasn't alone. We need that for each other. Really important. And one thing that I'm hoping to hear more and more of, if God does something in your life, please send me an email. Please pick up the phone. Please tap me on the shoulder and say, God turned up and did this for me this week. Can I share it? Because out of the word of our testimony, it is a prophetic declaration of what God can do again. It's how we get our hopes up. God healed me of this. God answered this prayer. My son come home. I was only this week, we heard the testimony of that Graham talked about his son being restored to the family. I thought, oh, that's awesome. And then on Wednesday night, my mate Ed comes over for dinner. Jace, you wouldn't believe it. My daughter's a different person. I wasn't able to talk to her for 20 years and she just organized the most amazing honoring Father's Day to the point that she went out of her way to make sure that we could bring our dog to the pub. She found a dog-friendly pub so that we could do it. They're hard to find. But she found it to honour her dad. This is someone who I prayed with Ed only 12 months, 18 months ago, praying with him, saying, God is going to restore the relationship. And what, 18 months, 2 years down the track, it's happened. I went, wow. These aren't small miracles. And so I share that because that can be your story too. I know we've got time, we've got to get into a meeting soon. So I want to finish with this. Next slide, please. Can I just have the last slide? We're being invited into the greatest revolution the world has ever seen. It's a revolution of love. I'm in. I'm in. Are you? Will you join me? Will you make a commitment in your heart today to have each other's backs? To be girded by the belt of truth? If there is anything loose-fitting, if there is anything that's tripping you up, if there is anything there, will you give each other permission to actually go, hey, that's going to trip us up, can we deal with that? And that may be through praying for you at the moment, it could be through, hey, you know, it'd be really good for you to go and see a counsellor about that one because I think there's something deeper and I can't put my finger on it. It might be through prayer counselling. It might be to go to a spirit connection training. It might be to get to go do the Love After Marriage conference that's coming up. Could be anything. Could be, hey, I just need a really good friend. Could we meet once a week for coffee at this time so that I know that I've got somebody to talk to? I don't know. I don't know what your needs are. But can we make a commitment to do it for each other? Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yep. Is it going to be inconvenient at times? Yes, most likely. Because most things that are inconvenient don't happen between 9 and 5. They usually happen outside of hours. It's just the way it is. We're going to have each other's back. Are we going to make a commitment that I no longer, as to the very best of my ability, under the Spirit's leading, I don't want to ever be a person who inflicts spiritual abuse on another person who's a follower of Jesus or anyone? Can we do that? Are we going to get it all right? No. But if I have my heart connection with Julie and I do something one day that actually upsets Julie, if our heart connection is, and she can look at me and go, I know Jason's heart is not to hurt, I'm going to go and have a chat with him about that. And Julie comes up to me and goes, you know, when you said that, this really upset me. What's our response? Oh, Julie, I'm so sorry. I was loose and callous with my words and I didn't realize. I'm really sorry. Can you forgive me? Imagine if we were quick to do that all the time. Our communities would be radically different and they'd look a whole lot like Jesus. If you're in for the journey, I am too. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. It's going to be extraordinary. It's going to be great. And I'm really thankful that I don't have to do it alone, that I've got you. I don't want to make this about a big emotional thing. Sometimes these services, at the end of the day, is everybody in, and of course everybody stands up and goes, yeah, we're in. No, this needs to be a bit of a deeper and a bit of a just moment. Am I in? For those of you who are visiting today, if you're looking for a home church, come chat to us. If you're from another church and you're just visiting, I bless you to go home and be that in your community, where God has placed you to be. I know we've got visitors from Sydney here with us today. Go and be that for your community, and may this spot fire of revival that's happening all around our nation get more and more intense everywhere it goes. Because our world needs Jesus, and the world needs his love. The world doesn't need more condemnation and pain. They need to know that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, and that it's the love of Christ that helps us become secure and to know that we are loved. I'm going to just stop for a moment. It's going to take 1 minute in quietness for you to just do some time with God. He might show you something. And I was reminded of the last time we did something like this, and Karen said to me this week, she saw a picture of her dressed in armor with her sword. Just take a moment. Are you in? Are you willing and wanting to be a part of this greatest revolution? Because it starts with us, you and I. And then I'll close in prayer. Feels that they want to come and get some prayer. I just felt like God said, I've got some oil there and I'm willing to pray and just anoint anyone who just feels like going, I'm all in, and you want to make a public thing. So come and speak, not public in front of necessarily everybody. But then I'll just pray with you and we'll anoint you with oil. Otherwise, let's go and just have a morning tea, cuppa. do those things, and then we'll be back in here half an hour or so, and we'll have our AGM. Father God, thank you for the call on our lives. Father, I thank you that you only have plan A, and that is to use humanity to bring about your kingdom. And so, Father, as the words of Isaiah, who can I send? And Isaiah's response is, send me. Father, may we be a people who are willing to be sent into this revolution of love that will transform our world. Increase our awareness of the heart condition of the people that we're journeying with, so that we protect one another's hearts, we point everybody to Jesus, and that together, as we journey together, as we battle together, as we step into this revolution, God, I have an expectant heart that we're going to see transformation in our own lives, in our families, in our community within the church, our community outside of the church, and beyond. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We love you, and we give you glory, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.